KBOO for our 25-hour fundraising extravaganza of special programming and community celebration. Tune in at 8 a.m. for Voices from the Edge with Joanne Hardesty. Her guest will be retired Seattle City Council member Nick Licata, author of the new book, Becoming a Citizen Activist, Stories, Strategies, and Advice for Changing Our World. Again, that's 6 a.m. on July 14th through 7 a.m. on July 15th to support your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
The responsibility of putting together this material is fully mine. I did it as honestly as I could.
Thursday, July 21st at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, as part of the Real Cool Film Series, KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of The Connection.
Do you realize that hardly a day goes by without some item in the daily press concerning narcotics?
In 1962, a movie called The Connection opened in New York, then closed after two showings. However, the soundtrack was released, and jazz fans collected the album of this mysterious movie.
But imagine anyone wanting to use real junkies just to make a movie. Wow.
Again, that's The Connection, Thursday, July 21st at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, July 12th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real radio for real people at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Great guest today, David Swanson, is joining us to talk about his recent piece, If Afghan Lives Mattered, Dallas Lives Would Matter. It's a terrific article from a voice that many listeners are familiar with already. This expands the dialogue. We do indeed live in a global world right now. Everything is interconnected. If it were not for the murders that the U.S. is perpetrating around the world, then we would not be faced with the type of a murderous culture that we are perpetuating here at home on American soil. American soil now blood-soaked, and we wonder whether it's redeemable at this point. We hope to hear from Chauncey Peltier, Leonard Peltier's son, who's currently in Banks, Oregon, with hundreds of motorcyclists taking off today heading to D.C. to ask, demand, request clemency for Leonard Peltier, who's in his 70s, an old man. He's very ill. He's being held in a maximum security prison, I believe in Florida, of all places. And it's high time that Leonard be released. High time. He's an artist. He's a thinker. He's one of them. He's an American hero, and he's indeed a First Nations leader. He may or may not have a chance to talk with us today. It's going to be a very busy day for everybody out there, but we do wish them well, and we will be following them as they make their way across America with the message: "Free Leonard now." Many years have passed. Got a little bit of weather for you first before you get rolling. First, today showers and south-southwest winds. A good chance of rain. It probably will get some. And tonight, chance lessen somewhat, though we do sleep under overcast skies with a low around 57, and waking tomorrow to find ourselves under mostly sunny skies with a high near 78 eventually. Not much in the way of wind, and for wind for tomorrow night, clear skies and a low around 57. That's it for Cascadia weather. David Swanson joins us now to talk a bit about, we have this breaking news, of course, that Bernie Sanders endorsed Hillary Clinton, laying out why she must become our next president. That's a quote. And effectively ending his campaign unless Hillary's legal fortunes take a turn for the worse and the convention sees some surprising turnarounds, which these conventions do, in fact, often see some surprising events. So that said, I want to talk about this. It's well past time that this issue were brought to light. The man who has writing about it, talking about it now, of course, David Swanson, and is well versed in. It's never so much the actual discrete events in politics and in current events. It's the connections between them that are important in determining the direction that we take. It's, of course, the man who murdered police officers at Dallas, Texas, had earlier been a part of a deadly operation, 15 years running now, that has killed many thousands of people in Afghanistan. And when one person in Afghanistan dies, that takes out a whole family, just as it would anywhere. He had the best training money can buy. David, good morning. Thank
good
you
morning,
so much
Chris,
for being.
You?
We're great here, out here in Portland, and hope you know the same with you. Thank you so much for writing this piece. I think it's very important for people to take note of many of the points that you make in your writing here. Why is it then that we need to consider this killing in Dallas in a greater context of America's murderous adventures overseas?
Well, a number of reasons, lots of connections. I mean, this is someone who, like the earlier D.C. area sniper and many of these individuals who start killing sprees in the United States, was trained by the U.S. military, was trained to kill lots of people with U.S. tax dollars, and the hope was that he would only kill people among that 96% of humanity that really does not matter in the U.S. media and the U.S. consciousness, that is the people outside of the United States. But of course, sometimes that 4% that does matter in the U.S. media gets targeted as well. But also because the lessons taught by U.S. public policy abroad and at home are always that violence works, that violence is the answer. If you're bombing ISIS and it's just strengthening ISIS and inspiring killers in Orlando, Florida, and everywhere else, the only answer is more of it, or more of it plus something else. I mean, it's the whole range of debate. And so this man in Dallas, like everyone else in the United States, is taught by language and culture and Hollywood movies and television and public policy and the death penalty and the war policy that if you want to solve a problem, you go and you shoot people. And we're not going to outgrow that. We're not going to get rid of the training. We're not going to get rid of the weapons and the guns and the militarization of the police who responded with a drone, with a robot and a bomb in the downtown Dallas, and nobody was outraged because that was revenge against someone who had been shooting at them. So this idea that violent revenge is acceptable is almost universal, you know, and they talk about this guy as having been radicalized. You know, when did radicalized come to mean becoming violent? our entire culture is violent. You know, a radical position would be one of nonviolence. I think what was proven today was, number one, that it is possible to air a Bernie Sanders speech on CNN and MSNBC, you know, finally, because they just did so, and people were probably wondering in many cases who this guy was. And number two, it is not possible to fix the Democratic Party, you know, because you could not mount a more serious challenge that without various levels of corruption would have actually made a relatively decent candidate their nominee. You know, people have tried for decades, you know, abandon that strategy. You know, that's not where it's at. We need to fix our culture, and we need to bring popular pressure to bear on everyone in office.
Hang on, hold that thought for a second. I want to ask you about what you write, that the trick is to understand the shootings as the enemy. Hang on for a minute. I've got a very quick bit of business. Hang on, listen. Chauncey Peltier, Leonard Peltier's son, is on the line. He's got just a couple of seconds. They're launching a motorcycle caravan across the country to demand clemency for Leonard Peltier. So hang on to that. I want to ask you about that. What that means in real terms for us as listeners and as citizens. Chauncey, good morning. Thanks for joining us. I know you have no time at all, but we want to wish you well. KBOO sends thoughts, wishes, prayers, and we also send out our cry for clemency for Leonard Peltier. It's about time. It's well past time. Chauncey, tell us what's going on there.
Well, I'm hoping people start showing up at noon out here in Banks, Oregon. It's all on the PeltierJustice.com. I should have people start posting here real shortly as soon as they all show up. We're going to like people start showing up about noon, about 3 or 4 o'clock. We're going to have some hamburgers and hot dogs. We'll have an open mic. There's going to be people with flutes and drums, and we're all just going to have a big gathering and show our support for Leonard.
Yeah, this is a big send-off. This is a big send-off. Yeah. How long do you expect it's going to take you to get there?
We're going to take anywhere from 11 to 12 days to get to D.C.
And we're going to be checking in with you as you go, along the way. Chauncey, I want to thank you so much. Thanks for just sharing just a couple of words with us before you take off. And again, we want to check in.
Yes, go. Make sure you stay updated with Chauncey Peltier on Facebook and PeltierJustice.com.
We're going to be keeping
everything updated where we're going to be and when we're going to be there.
We'll be doing that. Thank you so much for that. I want to get back to David Swanson because time, as always, is short. David, thank you very much for that. We just wanted to check in because they're getting ready to ride to D.C. But you write that the trick is to understand the shootings as the enemy. That's a different context. That's a different way of thinking. And people may have difficulty. Certainly some people will have difficulty with that. But that really is the issue in a nutshell.
Yeah, well, I think some people recognize, as I said in that article, that killing police officers because some other police officers committed murder and you want revenge is just stupid, as well as unfair and unjust and immoral and criminal and murderous. But the same applies with foreign policy. Going and bombing houses of people, men, women, and children, infants and senior citizens in Afghanistan for going on 15 years because some other people who had been to Afghanistan were alleged to have committed mass murder in the United States is just as unfair and immoral and outrageous and criminal and murderous. Instead of trying to identify the enemy as some group of people, be it Muslims or Saudis or blacks or whites or police officers, we ought to be identifying murder, violence, killing as the enemy. And when you look at it in those terms, you know, the crime of September 11th, 2001, and 3,000 or some murders, to go and then commit hundreds of times that many murders as a response is just to give an enormous victory to murder. you know, and the loser is peace and the rule of law and cooperation in the world. And the same goes for people who think you're going to help justice in the United States by killing random police officers or killing people of a particular group or political persuasion or assassinating leaders. This is not going to help. The problem is the violence and the insane idea that violence fixes anything, and that's the enemy of all of us.
It seems that selling death is at the foundation, the bottom of so much commerce in the United States, and this is a capitalist nation, no longer a democracy. Well, habitat, we've killed off our habitat by selling chemicals to corporations. We've killed off our weakest members of society by denying health care. We've killed off the strongest members of society by removing protection for labor rights. It seems that it really is. We are merchants of death. And our final words from you before we let you go: how do we turn this juggernaut around?
Well, I think we recognize, as you suggested, that things are connected. That when the standard for a good presidential candidate has now been reduced to people I like and respect advocating Hillary Clinton as well. At least she's not an overt racist. This is now the standard. When every country that's bombed is a country with dark-skinned, Muslim, foreign, non-English-speaking people, and without the racism and the bigotry, that wouldn't happen. And to think that it doesn't come back home, and that people don't start looking suspiciously at the Muslim down the street when your president is bragging about bombing 7 Muslim countries, and to think that it isn't exported when you have this vicious racism toward African Americans and other groups here in the United States, it's all connected, and we have to start thinking